Welcome to another episode of the After the Whistle podcast. My name is Smiley and I am joined by Van Gelder, and we have somebody from the ends with us. Hey, Charlie Crack. For those of you who are listening on audio, Charlie, what do they even call this thing? Balaclava or something? What do they call it? They get some name for it.
He say me, it be Balaclava, Paris ends. Is it Paris ends?
From the Paris ends. Before we ask Crack what did he wear, like, I don't understand, but before we ask Crack what did he wear, first of all, let me just start.
Hand gestures.
Charlie, they give gang signs and things.
Gang signs.
Charlie. I don't know, make you don't do me, they can't catch you for you. They can't cancel you.
Yoko make serious.
Yoko will come detain me over the weekend and things, bro.
Why your people go?
But yeah, before we get into things, first of all, two exciting things have happened to us over the past week or so. So first of all, yesterday, which was the Champions League final day, we held our first ever watch party for the Champions League final. Unfortunately, we had to organize it in very short notice because the place where we organized it at 957 Daiquiri Bar, they reached out to us asking us if we wanted to do something with them. So, and that was just on Tuesday. So it's not something that we had a lot of time to plan for and to promote. So for those of you who only listen to us on the podcast platforms, you probably didn't know that something was happening. If you don't follow our socials or anything, you didn't know that something was happening. But yeah, we had our first watch party and the turnout was actually incredible. Like, We didn't really know what to expect because this was our first time doing something like this. We've had the GCR Mosaic events in the past, but with those ones, they are not After the Whistle specific events. It's general Gold Coast Report events. Gold Coast Report being our podcast network. So, and we don't even get to talk about sports when we go for those events. So this was our first time having our own thing, and the turnout was incredible. We didn't really take numbers, but I'm very sure we had more than 70, 80, maybe 100 people. I'm not too sure, but there were plenty people. The place was so packed that, like, some couldn't even get in. So yeah, it was really, really incredible. And thank you to everyone who joined us, or everybody who, like, we had even past guests coming through. Zogba, the girls from LFC, MUFC, so many people came through. So yeah, shout out to everyone who came. Shout out to Crack, who was there. Corey, KO was supposed to be there. KO, he said, go come. We don't hear from him again. So it was me, Crack, and Corey. Obviously, Van Gelder couldn't be there, but we know that if he was in Ghana, he would have come. So yeah, Charlie, shout out to everyone who was there. And then also the other thing that happened, on Sunday, last week Sunday, the week before, City FM invited us to come and join them for their final day coverage for the Premier League. So we joined Benjamin Nketiah, Susu Graham, and a few of the other City FM regulars who you've probably heard on radio, just to talk about the Premier League, talk about Ruben Amorim, Garnacho, a few other things. So yeah, it was also a very exciting thing. Like, it was also our first time going on radio. Okay, Crack has been on radio a number of times, I think for TV3 and other people. But me, Momdia, this was my first time going on radio to talk about football. So yeah, that was also another very exciting thing. And they are saying that, like, they were very happy with us. They want us to come on more often. So you are going to be hearing us on City FM more often going forward. So yeah, those are two very incredible things that happened over the past week. So yeah, be like, if they see us walking around with our shoulders up, nobody say anything to do with you. Just right now, there, we get serious flex when they walk around with. Yeah, so yeah. But yeah, back to the Champions League. Yesterday, we saw probably the most one-sided Champions League final we've ever seen in our lives. Before the Champions League, before the final started, when we were doing our pre-match discussion at the 957 Daiquiri Bar for the watch party, I was talking about how this might be one of the most finely balanced Champions League finals because the two teams are very evenly matched and everything. Before you know it, the match has just gone in a completely different direction. Inter never stood a chance. PSG were just firing on all cylinders. First, make us start with Crack because I also for ask Crack, what influenced this fashion decision? Because he's also wearing his PSG jersey. So yeah, Crack, I know you there, like you were going strongly for PSG. You, this was what you were expecting to happen, but I'm not sure if you expected a 5-0. But also, Charlie, what are you going with your fashion sales today?
So, I mean, in solidarity with my niggas in Paris, my boys in Paris, like we are turning the city upside down. I know I'm not in support of some of the violence that is happening there because, like, Charlie, property damage, people being attacked. And on behalf of ATW, we just want to say that that is not what we want to do. But then for my people that have been oppressed, for my people that they've not witnessed the Champions League first time in history, I know this season has been the season of the first timers. If you see some of the domestic cup that has won in England, it's people in their first time. But Charlie, Ousmane Dembele, my boy Dembouz, finally, we are getting the respect we deserve. And we are going to win the Ballon d'Or. My boy, Kravaskalia, I thank you, I thank you, my guy from Georgia, oh bro, Joao Neves, Vitinha, oh Luis Enrique, we did it for your late daughter, I know she's proud of you, I know she's going to see Ale Alain Le Bleu, and it's in France, you're going to see me there, and as you know, get United there, we're going to be there, and this is my first chance, it's just to show you that we came like a thief of night to steal the Champions League, them Bulls and these niggas, hey, go fuck with them. PSG. And right now, they had to search my Arab this hour. I don't find out. Well, I say, okay. Then may I go with my niggas with the street. Let's go to the ends of Paris. You ain't know where the rat is there, where the Eiffel Tower is there. We don't give a fuck. We don't give a fuck about everything. We are still in high spirit. Fuck my boss. Fuck Chelsea. Fuck Arsenal. Fuck Barcelona. Fuck Lamine Yamal. Fuck everybody. PSG, we out here.
What are you saying fuck me for? What we do you? What we do you before you add with? What?
Niggas don't win Mickey Mouse trophy, they can't disturb. This is the real trophy, this is the big boys. Quadruple for the season, quadruple. We go add those ones, safe. What be in the club World Cup, safe. We don't win 5 trophies this season.
First of all, not be me at tweet say major European trophy. Not be me.
If you UEFA them, anyways,
if you got problem, go to UEFA. Not to call my trophy Mickey Mouse.
Smiley might have forgotten, but then as a 2-0 up halftime, we were interacting with the fans, like the people that were there. And I was still taking predictions. Some of the Inter fans were switching. And this guy, what's his name? I spoke to one Inter guy and he still had vim. Somebody said, Inter is still going to win 3-2. And I laughed. And I was like, look, the game is going to end 5-0. People were like, hey. I was like, look, this game is the easiest final ever. It's going to be 5-0. Like, let's not even sweat it. So, I mean, when the 5-0 happened, that's when I realized that who to me will be coming home on Tuesday. So right now, if you predict the future, and then we are also going to catch the former finance minister. But yeah, it is what it is.
Vangoda.
Yeah, once again, fuck Chelsea and their board manager.
What?
Charlie, I don't even know what to say. Vangoda, what... how did you feel about this heavy thumping that PSG handed out to Inter Milan? Is this something you were expecting? Or were you expecting a more close final?
I expected that PSG will win. I just didn't think they would thump. Like, it was a no contest. I don't think I saw Inter threaten PSG once. They had one or two snippets be here and there, you know, that corner that threw up missed it. But outside of that, it was a no contest final for me. And first of all, congratulations to PSG. We know that special things happen when you play at Munich. So it's important that they've won a club of their, you know, it gives credence to their own project since 2011 when they've been trying to win this trophy. So congratulations to PSG. Commiserations to Inter fans. I know they feel bad for Albert. I know they feel bad. Give us, yeah, you won't win Champions League. You don't do anything. You won't win Champions League. But I didn't think it was. I didn't think they would beat PSG. PSG would beat Inter this badly. This was not. This was a battering. At some point, it looked like a training match. It was so bad. Like how good PSG are and how bad Inter were on the day. I can't tell if Inter was just flustered. I can't. But they've been here before. Like two seasons ago. So right now, if you say if you won't win Champions League final, just pray that Inter come there. If it be your first time, you don't want to try win the trophy, Inter didn't go take give you because they gave it to Man City and they're giving it to PSG. I'm talking about Arsenal, but they won't get to the final anyway. So let's just move on. Anyway, I thought PSG were brilliant, phenomenal. Their midfield too. The headache of their front three, you know, Kvaratskhelia, Doué, and Dembele, their movements was causing so much chaos at the back for Inter, and Inter couldn't deal with it. They didn't even know who to pick up, when to pick them up, whether to press them, what to do. Like, they just looked confused, and they just, every time PSG came forward, it looked like they could score again and again and again and again and again. So for me, it's a very, very impressive, dominant display by PSG. I think it closes out the season very well and shows that really they were the best team in Europe this year. And so they deserve to win it. Whether 5-0 is the result is flattering to them or to Inter, I'm not exactly sure. But they did play, like, Enrique coached the 5-0, so I don't know what again. Like, it looked really bad for Inter. I hope that next year they can recalibrate, because as he said, and give them a manager of 40 million euros. I mean, transfer budget, if they don't make serious for them. 40 million, they know if you take change this squad and they make them increase the budget, give my boy, make he get small money, take by other things. But yeah. I think PSG were good money for their victory.
So let me just say, first of all, like, obviously congratulations to PSG, very incredible win. Nobody, like, I didn't see this coming. Me, I've been predicting Inter to win the Champions League since like round of 16, because I looked at their side of the draw. I knew that they were going to get to the final. I thought they might be trying to avenge their defeat in the 2023 final. So I didn't see this coming. But PSG were just too good. And PSG, one thing about them is that they are not a very defensive team, but they know how to defend. And they know how to defend with the ball. When they want to control the ball and not to let you have it, they know how to do it. So playing against those teams can be even harder to break down than teams that just pack people behind the ball and just defend. So yeah, PSG, they've really done well to do all of this. But a part of me is really annoyed that PSG has finally managed to win the Champions League. Because in all the praise and everything that people are lavishing on PSG, I think people are forgetting that PSG are the original bad guys of football. Like, they're the ones who destroyed football in the first place. Like, it's like everybody has just forgotten all of that because now they are being more sensible in the markets. They are not chasing superstars and all
those
things.
No, but it's just because they are very likable.
PSG are the ones who spoil the market.
They are very likable.
Yes, they are a likable team. They are a likable team because they have likable players. They've bought a lot of ballers, throwback players, not Pep robots type of players. But they are still the team that destroyed the markets. I keep saying that Neymar 200 million transfer is really the transfer that destroyed the transfer markets, because everybody pegs their players against the highest transfer fee. So if the highest transfer fee is 100 million and like you're selling your player, you're going to peg it within that range. The moment you expand the range to 200 million, it raises the ceiling for everybody to demand transfer fees for their players. So PSG are the ones who originally destroyed the market. They are the ones who broke all sorts of rules to get to where they are. Everybody forgets that, like, even everything Man City is going through right now, PSG, like 5, 6, 7 years ago, they were actually fined by UEFA for breaking some financial fair play rules. I don't even know why they didn't throw them out of the Champions League or give them some harsher punishment. But I think they were given some very hefty fine. I think it was in the region of like 30 million or something. And I don't even understand the logic in fining someone for breaking financial fair play rules. I mean, that thing, it never really makes sense to me. So yeah, it appears me say the bad guys are now being seen as the good guys or something. But yeah, like, on the other hand, to me, even though I was predicting Inter to win, I'm also a little happy that this three-back system has failed, because it adds fuel to my Amorim agenda. Because three-back, I'm going to say this now, and I'll keep saying this, three-back is an underdog system. You hardly find a team that plays three-back going into a major final as the favorite. It's a system for underdogs. It's teams that I don't like, teams that you know that you are financially limited, so you have to make do with what you have, and then, like, yeah, you just do this. But I don't think it's a system for European dominance. Maybe in Italy, that's what they do over there, so it's not strange for Italian teams to be doing that and be successful with it in their league. But outside of Italy, I don't think a team can have a long period of dominance playing a three-back system, and I'm yet to be proven wrong. If somebody can show me a team that has had an extended period of dominance playing the three-back system outside of Italy, I'm ready to be corrected. But yeah, I'm a little happy that this has proven to me that this three-back system is an underdog system, because a lot of people were ready with the agenda that, yes, Inter has won with a three-back system, and people are saying that three-back, it no go work. All of these things. People were saying that Leverkusen have won Bundesliga with three-back, all of these things. So plenty of agendas scatter just through this heavy defeat. So yeah, it's also one of the positives that I can find from it. But me, I just want to ask you guys a quick question. Would you rather lose a final in the manner that Inter lost it? Or would you rather lose a final by a very narrow margin, let's say some 1-0 where you performed very well, or on penalties? How would you rather lose a final?
Oh, narrow. I'm not going to choose this. I'm not going to choose this drubbing, because in as much as I was saying it was easy for PSG and everything, nobody ever predicted that it was going to be a drubbing. Like, bro, like, it was still 11-11. You know, we say some red card happened in the first 20 minutes where they had to defend throughout. No, it was a balanced game. You understand? Everybody was healthy. You know, we say, like, bro, so I'm not going to say I would rather. No. History is not going to be kind, because this thing, psychologically, it can affect your team for next season. Honestly, it can really affect. And this one game alone might even alter your transfer. Some players that have been good all season, they can be misjudged by just this one game, because people will be overreacting to this. And you might lose some key players, and it might affect you. Do you get to getting there? It's not easy. And losing by 5-0, it's in no way a reflection of how Inter has played this Champions League till now. Because me, I'll tell you that even PSG players before the match, or even Enrique, they didn't think they were going to win 5-0. I don't think they did. Me, as the game started, where I see the way they go, the two quick goals, how PSG was dominating, pressing, playing, that's when halftime I was like, oh, this game, they're going 5-0. But in the beginning, I didn't think that. You understand? But even as the 5-0 happened, I was still surprised, because I thought Inter was still putting it a fight and all. PSG was just better. So I'll choose a narrow victory. 1-0, it go pain. But I know that the thought of almost being there and, like, trying, it go fit means I'll say, Charlie, next season, at least you go fit come again, do 1 or 2. But 5-0, I go fit talk, say, sack everybody. Make everybody go out. That's how emotional we are and how reactionary we are. You understand what I'm saying? But yeah, like, I'll choose a narrow victory.
Van Gelder, narrow defeat or
if driving. If Chelsea make mistake, go lose 5-0 for European, at the walk barefoot go Stamford to a lie. At the walk barefoot go Stamford Bridge. Where anybody I go see for there, it be me the Nam. You can't. Arsenal might accept that because they don't go finals often, so they might accept that. But any club worth its salt is not taking a drubbing. You are better off losing 1-0 or 2-1 or something like that, where you've played well, you've done your best, and the other team were just better than you on the day, right? At least you go fit take some consolation, you go fit spare you one. I think, well, who was it? I think it was Liverpool when they lost that final to Real Madrid, whether 2-0 or 2-1 or whatever. After they lost that final, they just got angry. The next year, they were like, they win. I think the next season, they won the Champions League, if I remember correctly. But if you lose by a narrow margin, it can spare you on to greater things. But as Craig said, if you lose by such a wide margin, first of all your best players are now rethinking their futures. Do I even want to be here? Or serious club, then the score will be 5-0 for final. I won't left. Or your targets will not want to join you because you are an unserious club and you lose by large margins in finals. So it just doesn't look good. Your coach might take a sabbatical because he can't believe what has happened to him and his boys. So like losing by a large margin can just cause so much trouble. I don't think, well, except Arsenal fans, but I don't think anybody would want to lose by a large margin, right? I don't think any club or anybody like that would want to lose by a large margin. So personally, no, impossible. First of all, I don't want to lose any final at all. If I lose it, I might as well lose it like 1-0 or 2-1 at best. I don't have, okay, I did my best. My best wasn't good enough on the day. Fair enough. But to lose 5-0, 6-0, 4-1, those things, no. I don't even think your fans will come and meet you at the airport. They will probably throw eggs at you.
But what about that feeling of regret when you lose a final narrowly? Because let me give you an example. Man United, even in this recent Europa final, see how he lost 1-0? Like, in my mind, I keep thinking, if this guy had made changes earlier, if this guy had brought Garnacho earlier, if he had done something earlier, like if this guy was available, if De Ligt was available, something could have happened. And it's even the same, like, let me even use the example of the 2009 Champions League final and the 2011 Champions League final. I know that in both finals, we lost by 2 goals to Barcelona. But for me, the 2009 final, it wasn't a drubbing per se. But for me, the 2009 final, it still hurts me because, like, I feel like United stood a chance, even though like Barca dominated us and everything. I still feel like United could have like done something if maybe Fergie had started Tevez in that final. For the 2011 final, the team was so weak and we got dominated so much that I have no regrets. It's one final that I have no regrets about. I never really think about it much because I just knew that we're going to lose that match. So even though it wasn't a drubbing per se, don't you think that like when you lose a final like by a narrow margin or a final where you think that you could have done something, it's more painful than when they beat you and you know that, yeah, this one day, like them beat you flat, like there was no chance, we stood no chance. I'm not like, I'm just going to throw them out of my mind as soon as possible.
You feel, this one you, day, see, like, you feel bad because you know you have the tools to be able to, like that could help you to win that final. And that also means that having the tools, having that hope, having that pain, you kind of like the next year you are like, you know what, we are not that bad, you know, we're going to work harder and do better next year. If they be too driving, you definitely reconsider your entire project to your owners. They tap there like this into projects they cry, maybe you the players today there, they don't want to day there again, bro. Like, it's just if you lose a final, any loss in any final will hurt, whether it's a drubbing or a narrow loss. But I think if you lose narrowly, you leave with your pride more intact than if you're beaten like they were. Like, look at how everybody at the moment or for the next few weeks will forget that Inter were a very good team this year. Everybody will judge them by, yeah, but when they go to the final, then slap them by, you know, they're no good like that. Look at you, you're making judgment on the whole playing system because they lost 5-0. If they lost 2-1, you go, can't they talk, say, the 3-back no good? No, you go talk, say, oh, it was, you know, PSG just had superior players and superior, probably, tactics or game plan. That's why they won. You will never mention that it's because they play 3 at the back. They lose 5-0, no, see, that means you say, if it's a cup, they play 3 at the back. Do you get what I mean? Like, you call into question everything about your club. You know, if you talk, oh, the Ketman. He said, if he left this player in boots, that'd be why he no play. Anything. Look, if you are dropped in the final, they proper blamed you in the final. Maza, you the question everything. You know, if you see your player self, then you vex.
See,
Inter fans, if they see Inter players, they don't go vex.
And even to add on to what Bangada say, I agree with everything he's saying, right? And when you lose by narrow margin, I mean, the argument with opposition fans is better. Everything is better. Even talking with your mates that support the same team, it's even better. The what ifs, at least, it's painful, but it gives you some sense of like optimism for the coming season or something. What if you could have done this more? What if you could have brought this player? What? But 5-0, you can't chat with anybody. Me, we are not make finals. If you serve no feature with me, you understand? Me, I no make finals. But you go there. You had your heaviest defeat. That's the heaviest defeat ever in Champions League finals history. Nobody has ever lost 5-0.
Barca held for 30 years ago to Milan, and they've held that record for 30
years.
I don't think anybody's breaking this record.
No,
Inter, they can't hold them like bare 40 years.
And the crazy thing is that we've had very good teams in the Champions League finals. Even Madrid against Dortmund didn't end up in 5-0. You understand? Like, we've seen very good teams make it. That the disparity between their opposition, but still, like, this, the difference between Inter and PSG going to the final, it's not 5-0. If we are all being frank, it's not 5-0. The gap is not 5-0. You understand? So this like this, like, bro, this is demoralizing you. Did you see them? Did you see their fans?
You like, can't even. You
this
can't
one, clap. You can't it's like, clap like if they go, the if they go give reports to the owners, where you go starts from where you go end.
Charlie, with the score,
you don't want what they talk. like if they score me one, like if they score me one or 2-1, I go if you go the owners go talk say Charlie, we and Barca this and this happened. We still persevere. We did this. We did this. This season has in this and this and that. And even in the finals, we were close. That this one. and you made mention of United versus Spurs. I don't even want to talk about that useless final. Because we knew, like you Smiley, you predicted a United loss, right? You even predicted like 3 or something or 2-1 or something. You understand? Yeah, a lot of United fans not even gave him say we're going to beat Tottenham even with their depleted team. So that's different. 2009-2, we losing by 2-0 was painful. But then we still lost to one of the greatest teams ever. That Barcelona that was coming. I'll take the 2-0. I will not take a 5-0.
Even 2011. 2008, we lost in the finals to United on penalties.
Yeah, to United.
It was very painful.
On penalties.
It was very painful. But it was a performance you could be proud of. You are like, you know
what?
We took them all the way. See, PSG score Inter 5-0. All of a sudden, Arsenal fans, they don't catch anywhere. So they talk, we took them all the way there.
Yesterday, they were even saying it over there. It's true. At least, we lost to the champions and we didn't even lose by 5-0 on aggregate. You understand? They were saying it. And even, let me give you 2012, Chelsea and Bayern Munich going into the finals, right? Everybody was saying that, oh, Chelsea is going to lose because their league position is bad. They even had to come back to win against Napoli and all those things, right? Chelsea still persevered and went to win in finals. Trust me, if Chelsea would have lost by 2-1, they will take it. If they are lost by 1-0, they will take it. You understand? Because people will say, like, Chale, They said they didn't deserve to be there, blah, blah, blah. But they beat Barcelona. They beat an informed Napoli with Lavezzi and Cavani, all of them. Yeah, so they had to come back and win. They beat Barcelona as well. They went to the finals in Bayern Munich's home, Allianz Arena, and went to beat them there and won. Do you get it? And I'm saying that if Chelsea would have lost by a goal to nil in the finals, they would have walked with their chest high because people didn't expect them to win because of how shit their season was and everything. You understand? But if Chelsea would have lost by 5-0, oh, the trolley alone.
You think we'll survive? Like, by now, you think I'm on this podcast? See, you don't know what is going on.
So
right now, let's move the conversation. Inzaghi, they go think of information.
I was just about to talk about Inzaghi because now looking at everything and over the past week, some rumors started coming out about him being linked to Al Hilal and all of that. First of all, I don't even understand why they allowed those rumors to come out while you are preparing for a Champions League final. But looking at how badly they were defeated in the Champions League final, and it doesn't look like Inter have the resources to give him enough to go again for this Champions League and everything surrounding it. Do you think this is the end of Simone Inzaghi at Inter? Do you think he should take the deal from Saudi Arabia? Because like he's taking Inter as far as he can take them.
In as much as he has taken them as far as he has taken them, I wouldn't want to be the coach to leave the team after a 5-0 drubbing. I would rather go into the season during what's the name? Preseason, complain about lack of signings, lack of investment, and try and shift the narrative on to the owners. Do you get what I mean by that? Because right now, how it looks, you can't blame the owners. After they beat Barcelona, everybody was praising their recruitment. If you remember, they got this guy for this amount. They built this, they put this, they did that. They did Amad, they bought Dumfries, DeMarco, blah, blah, blah. Bastoni, you understand? They were talking about them. Turam, blah, blah, blah. So he realized at that time, and also their sporting director, mind you, Inter has been in the final, in the Champions League final twice in 5 years. Not many teams can say that, right? In fact, they've been in the finals twice.
Twice in 3 years. Because
twice in
final was 2023.
No, twice in 4 years. Twice in 4 years.
2025 and 2023.
Yeah. Twice in 3 years. You understand? So something like this, they're already hyping the director of football, they're already hyping the owners, blah, 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 and all those things.
The CEO,
so, even though you're the coach, they do well, but still, if you think about it, people, they talk, say, the sporting director, blah, 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 he build a winning, do you get it? So that narrative is there. And so for you to go and lose 5-0, I would rather you leave mid-season, where you've already blamed them, where lack of signing, this and that, shift, because it's a narrative game. Shift the narrative for people to talk, say, Charlie, I can't believe this guy squeezed everything with Arnautovic and things on his bench. You understand? He did what he had to do. He lost on the final two games, the Serie A to Napoli. You understand?
Make it go call Conte. The narrative. Give him all the tips on how to go about this.
Exactly. Conte the Mourinho. You understand? Conte will go talk to you about lack of signings, lack of this and this. You know they care. Sack him and give him money, you could go. You understand? He should. So I wouldn't want to be the coach to leave after a 5-0 drubbing. I would stay for them to sack me. And before they sack me, I'll throw them under the bus. Let people know that actually I did what I had to do, what I could do with this team. I did my best, blah, blah, blah. Because Inter them are first in level, no bad though. If it eventually no good. You understand? They were starting 11, not bad at all. If they don't have game changers on the bench, that's the issue. That's what has affected them. But per the first 11, they have one of the best defense, one of the best keepers in the world, one of the best midfield, and a good attack. And they are one of the best what's the name? Fullbacks in world football. You understand? So I wouldn't really say Charlie. So I mean, and Italian teams, you already know, then they go sign player, then they go do 100 years deal. Then go pay 1 million, 1 million, 1 million every month. So the 40 million, they put down. They already think say big. Yeah. If Italian team they can buy your player, then they will sign.
Worst deal ever, 4 years contract.
What boy? They will pay you after now, Lukaku money, they're not pay Chelsea.
Inter sell with Lukaku. Then they can't take him on loan. They say, you know, Charlie, tear the loan from the money you do. You for pay we. We not get money, so you.
You understand?
So the money you owe we no tear him from there.
So probably then things say the money big. But to answer your question, don't go like that. I wouldn't want to leave like that. Yeah.
Vangelda, do you agree?
I don't think I don't think he leaves. I think first of all, I figure it'd be French people, then they try to do something destabilize Inter. Because all the reports are coming from France. How really? Say somebody they try to go Fabrizio Dems know they tweet about them? It be Santi and them people. If them But you don't know, so I personally don't think he leaves. I think he gets angry. This is like professional pride at stake. He leaves and the narrative changes from all the great things he's done in Inter to he lost 5-0 in the Champions League final and all of a sudden he ran away to Saudi for money. It's no longer he lost and he tried to get the Scudetto back and whatever, you know. So I think he stays. I think he'll stay. But the 40 billion deal, he will go talk to them then make them change them a mind and give them like maybe 20 million add or something. Because first of all, your starting center back cannot be 37 years old. Acerbi is 37. DiMarco is not good. He's really bad. If they can't see himself, we go feed discuss Vega then make them feel some cool 35. If they can't see people self, look sure self go if you go there. Like then go get better players pass these players then get for there. Their midfield is strong, but think about it. If in 2025 you are losing a game, you are chasing a game, and the person you have to call upon on your bench is Marko Arnautovic, then really you know that you are in the deepest part of the trenches. Even Conte doesn't have to call. So yeah, Inter have, and I think this is why it will hurt, because they were probably looking forward to that money from the Champions League. That prize winning money, I think it's like 100 million or something. I don't know. But I think it's quite significant, right? And that money would have at least gone to shore up there. Maybe that'd be where the 40 million they come from, or right now. Because, it's really crazy. Because the win of Serie A gets like 40 million. And the person with the chop second, they get like 12 million or something like that. So,
coins.
Bro, coins, though. Serious coins. Like something where if Premier League clubs, when I'm on this, if you finish, Charlie, check my pillow in box. He says, some money they die. That's where they find that kind of money. That'd be price winning money for Italy. So, it's unfortunate, but I think he will stay. I think they'll figure something out. I think, you know, there are still what they call market opportunities, right? For certain players who are out of contract, certain players who are unhappy, those kind of things to sort themselves out. So I think he'll stay and then they'll rebuild Inter. He has to. He doesn't have a choice. He has to rebuild. And then move on from there. Yeah.
So moving on to the other European final that was played this week.
Before we move on, I want to just...
Wait. I actually not talk about the final, so...
Okay, so...
Yeah, it's only all time to move like no. Somebody really come from ends for...
Why you hating, my nigga? Why you hating? But yeah, I just a quick one, right? Like, for as much slack we give the Gen Zs and the Gen Alphas, right? I think there's a shift happening now, and it's even happening in NBA and basketball now, where you have the Indiana Pacers and the OKC Thunder, the young Thunder, the youngest team to make it to the NBA Finals, and they're actually the best team. Best team in the West, in the stacked West this season. They were all young. People wrote them off, right? The reason why I'm saying that is that right now, they are easy to buy in. Like, they buy in into a coach's strategy when they believe in you. And the reason why I'm saying that is, yesterday, look, Carver, Dewey, Dembele, and Neves, Virginia. All right. And what's this guy's name? The other midfielder said Fabian Ruiz, right? If you watch, bro, they were pressing, they were running. No egos. No ego. And if you're a team that you want to copy PSG and play a false nine, your false nine should be the first point of defense. And Dembele, nobody does it better than Dembele in world football. Dembele doesn't rest. Dembele presses. Yesterday, if you watch, anytime somebody go play ball, then Dembele do so. Like, they can't run 100 meters. Anytime, then pass him back. He's already ready to attack. Carver, as a 3-0 up or 4-0 up, he chased Dumfries. He chased Dumfries to go and win that ball off him. And this is the biggest star in Georgia right now. You understand? That's what I'm saying. That, like, and they still have Marquinhos over there, the senior man who has been there for like, what, a decade plus. He has been there for since Zlatan, since he maintained. And people don't even talk enough about Pacho. And that's what I'm saying, that for a lot of stake we give the young guys, the young boys with technical ability, they listen. And I love the fact that right now we are moving, like, maybe it might be early prediction, but we are moving out of the age of superstars saving teams alone. And teamwork is coming back. Ronaldo and Messi, for how great they are, they actually worry football. Everybody thinking that your striker will give you constant 40, 50 goals a season. Then time pass. 60 goals, that time pass. You need teamwork. You need a system they are going to believe in. And you need technically good players that you can actually buy it. And that comes to my other point of the importance of recruitment. Look, we are not hyping PSG today like they've always had it right. When Smiley was criticizing and saying PSG were the enemy sentence, I wouldn't say the enemy. They will only be the enemy if what they did worked. It didn't work. With all the superstars they had, they still couldn't go to the Champions League final. They made it once. And at that time, it was just Neymar and Mbappe. They still lost to Bayern Munich. So at every turn, you've had a team that has done it the right way, still knocked PSG out. Where they couldn't make it to all their superstars. Even when they had Neymar, Messi, Mbappe, they still couldn't get there. They had Ramos, they still couldn't get there. They had stars, they still couldn't make it there. When they had Lavezzi, when they had Cavani, when they had Ibrahimovic, they still couldn't make it there. So I wouldn't call them the enemies. The enemies is, I've done it and I've dominated. There's a reason why Pep vexed me. You understand? Because when a genius makes unlimited money, he didn't worry. Right? So, PSG sold us Ugarte and went to take Neves. They took the better player. That is elite recruitment. As a January, they needed a winger. And the reason why they talk so, we say, during the group stages, Dembele hurt. We not play against Arsenal. I saw how they weren't good without a dynamic attacker like Dembele. So Dembele needed another person. That Kvaratskhelia transfer was very clutch. And without it, they wouldn't have won the Champions League. This is how you identify who and what you really need and you stick to it and sign. And also, if you study, then my young players too, then they come, then be star players, then be good young players. And if they keep your head down, PSG go dominate for a long while. If you just be this boy where they vex me, Bakola, that boy, he get potential, but if he's too wasteful. I not see young boy way in leg non-hopo inside like this boy before. But yeah, talking about it, I don't know if you also noticed. Do you know, first kickoff, when they kicked off, do you know they played the ball? They played the ball to throw
straight in
Inter Milan's half.
For some,
I think like a lot of people might have missed it.
They wanted Inter to have the ball and try to build up from the back so that they could put pressure on them from their defensive area. It was like unusual thing.
It was out of the ball, but I was like, And I was telling how they were closing Inter Milan now, because you know why? Inter Milan in their back three still struggles to build up from the back.
Three as the back.
They struggle to build from the back.
But
and
is
another
not,
thing,
is not sorry, but that struggle to build a back, you know, we try to back for them. It be, it's a quality of player.
Whether see, listen, no, whether the quality of player problem and everything, it still shows how that formation is not adaptable. You understand when you meet a good team like that, and the reason, and another point I want to say is that wingers are so important. Three back kills wingers. Because for your three back to work, your full backs literally have to be very good. They have to be very good attacking wise and very good defensively. The reason why Conte won at Chelsea was Alonso. Alonso was a very good left wing back. He had defensive deficiency, but he could make it up attacking wise. And he had somebody like Conte in midfield to also cover up. Victor Moses. It's a winger, but he was strong enough to play right. But you see, people they ignore these things, right? People they ignore this. That's what I'm saying. That for you to do that, don't copy blindly. Your wing backs literally have to be good attacking wise. Nuno Mendes and this guy, Robin Hakimi, can easily play wing back because that's how good they are. While you go by Dogu, I can't only Bobo. They say they can't play to the back. You make another tournament to United this one. What you understand? So, make come on for there. And another thing is that I was mentioning about how the age of superstars. Me, I want the age of superstars to go. Because right now, some of the players have the money that they mentioned, they deserve them. You understand? They know they deserve them. And we've been so blinded by this goals and assist combination to where they vex me. Because look, Vitinha, they take all the praise, and rightly so, but João Neves. That diminutive midfielder over there yesterday was disrupting them, was disrupting Inter, intercepting, breaking, like, movement, passing, everything. Not if you talk about Fabian Ruiz, it's calm nature. Like, I was looking at teams that won it with three midfield, right? With Xavi, Iniesta, Busquets, right? And I hate the fact that when people are doing arguments, when they bring Xavi and since they want to do how many goals Xavi scored? How many assists Xavi got? How many goals Iniesta scored? I mean, no, it's more than that. Very soon, people are going to do that with Vitinha and Neves. But that's not the point. Technically good players who can control the game, who can take pressure off your team, who can create chances out of nothing. You understand? Like, those boys were so in sync. Their movement, moving into places. Vitinha actually playing like an attacking midfielder yesterday as well. Even though he was the one supposed to sit, but he was moving with Neves. You understand? So it's when good recruitment, technical ability meets good coaching. Because this guy said about Vitinha yesterday. I don't know what it was yesterday or said it before that. Like, sometimes he watches Vitinha and says that this is not his tactics. It's like he's watching PlayStation because of how he moves, how he thinks, and how he acts. And if you listen to Vitinha's interview with Ferdinand before the finals, you realize when you have technically gifted players who can think, gifted players who can think on their feet, they enhance your formation and they enhance what you do. But as a coach, you need to give freedom. And that is why I miss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Give freedom. Let the players not be robotic. Let them also use, teach them the way, but let them use their talent. Let them use their ability. And that is why people they talk about, say this guy brought Tiki Taka. I wouldn't even say it's Tiki Taka. It wasn't Tiki Taka like that. Because it was really fast move. It wasn't boring beating you with possession. It was possession with purpose. You understand? It was possession with, so it wasn't Tiki Taka. This is Enrique playing with MSN. It's just MSN football he played with Messi, Suarez, and Neymar. That wasn't Tiki Taka. So maybe people stop their Tiki Taka, they won't praise, Guardiola, say the Tiki Taka, but any Tiki Taka, yeah, any Tiki Taka, it's Enrique Taka, and they took it. So me, yeah, I don't know what people they want to, but yeah, like basically, this was my assessment of the game.
So cool. Anyway, moving on, in the other European final that was played this week, we saw Chelsea winning the what did they call that in safe? Inter Toto Cup. How do they call them? Yeah, I forget the name safe.
Whatever you call them, maybe European trophy. We,
Unity Cup.
Whatever you want, call them. Whatever you want. Whatever you want, call them.
So, Chelsea won the
President's Cup.
Europa Conference League. And like, Bagiola, first of all, how do you feel like seeing your team first celebrate top four, now celebrating Conference League? How the mighty are falling?
The mighty may have fallen, but other mighty people are losing the same day to Asian All-Stars. So that'd be cool. Anyway, I remember very well that at the beginning of the season, I did set out very simple targets for Vincenzo Maresca. Win, qualify for top four, win the Conference League, and if possible, a domestic competition as well. He didn't win any domestic competitions, but he qualified for top four, and he won the Conference League. This is bare minimum for Chelsea Football Club. If you play in a European competition, you must win it. It'd be simple. Especially if your coefficient, the other, if them add all the other teams, them are coefficient, it's still not the reach your own. You for win that competition. So personally, I'm happy. I'm very happy. I'm pleased. I think winning the Conference League and qualifying for top four makes the season a good season. At least for a first year for a manager that everybody called a championship manager and whatnot. We are glad that at least our championship manager knows how to win European trophies, unlike some people where they in phase 30 and phase 14. But that'd be cool. Anyway, yeah, so I was very glad. I was pleased with the boys. I think it was very important for this particular Chelsea group of team or boys or players to win something. Because like everybody was there and like, why are they celebrating? Don't forget, more than 90% of these players have never played in the Champions League before. So for them, this is probably the pinnacle of their, like, them playing in Champions League next season is the biggest achievement some of them have ever had.
Also, this excuse, I'm not buying this because Sancho, they shout, jump all over the place. Meanwhile, he played Champions League final just last season.
You don't have to buy it. I'm not selling it to you. It's fact. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to accept it. It is what it is. It's fact. Right, that's where we are at. We are at the moment as a club that we have a squad where 90% have never even played Champions League football. So it is what it is. So for them to qualify, I can understand why they were so jubilant, and it's also because of the kind of situation they found themselves in going into the last game of the season, right? Where Jamie Carragher and others could boldly come out and say, "We don't think this Chelsea team has the metal. We don't think." You know, they have the wherewithal to beat Nottingham Forest. Jesus Christ, Nottingham Forest. That's how disrespectful it was. If you sit back for a moment and think about it.
You drop points to Ipswich home and away, so it not be something where you can talk arrogance like Nottingham Forest.
You are telling me that if Chelsea Football Club are in a final game against Nottingham Forest at away, Chelsea cannot win. That's what you're telling me, that you are backing Forest to beat Chelsea. That was how ridiculous it sounds. All the other team they thought would do well. What happened to them? Newcastle choked at home. Villa went to United and lost 2-0. And it could have been worse. United hit the bar like 3 times. And they had Hoyland up top. He couldn't control their boy. They were Timbaland for top. So all the people they thought were better off, the people they thought had the mentality, the people they thought could do it, couldn't do it. And now, all of a sudden, that's the bare minimum of Chelsea. That's what we expect them to do. No, you don't, because you said they can't do it. Do you get? And then, after that, we go to the final. As of that one day, if we know Winsef, like, he go pain me. Because it's Chelsea, it's a European final. We've lost just one in my existence. Like, even now, we lose on penalties. Might be cool. Anyway, so I didn't think there was any, you know, even when people say, it's the year of the underdog. Well, Betis, the Malas trophy with 2022, which Chelsea, the Malas trophy with 2021. So the underdog will here with Chelsea. Where we are, we don't get bad for one of badges. So, but it was good to see them. It was good that they've won. Now that they've tasted what it feels like to lift a trophy, I believe that it will spur them on to do even greater things and come for even bigger trophies from next year.
Yeah, the guys told the talk conference.
Next year, we're European, European tournament to the playing side. May I see something?
We know one play safe. We know one play safe.
No win.
You know one play safe. We know you one play. You go to play this Hong Kong All-Stars and things. Side. But them no, you go to play. Them no, you but, go play play.
But I mean, talking about this as well, trolling aside, Chelsea is still the first team to win all the European trophies. Right? Like, the Conference League, the Europa League, the Champions League, the Carabao Cup, right? So, I mean, kudos to them. They've done well. And I don't think any of the top teams that have already won the other cups might replicate. I don't know. But nobody knows. But, I mean, Chelsea is the first club to win, sweep the European competition. So, congratulations to them. And I'm not one of those people that are going to say that they shouldn't have been celebrating the cup. Like, I mean, they came back from behind to prove that La Liga almost sang off. Robert almost sang off. So I'm happy they won.
Well, England
I would have celebrated the shit. They would have celebrated the shit out of it as well. The only one I was surprised was how they were jubilating for top four. That was still crazy to me because they are former winners and they've been there before. They were acting like they've not been there before.
They've not been.
That's the only criticism I have.
The only person who has been there before again, is Reece James. And if you go and watch the videos, he was also the only one who did this.
I don't have to empathize or try to understand you. That is you. I'm talking from my point of view.
Why force
something to my mouth?
Make you not lie.
I said Chelsea as a club, they should act like they've been there before. I don't give a fuck about the playing body. That's all I'm saying.
Act like they've been there before. If the people that are there have not been there before, like what should they talk about, man?
It is how you communicate to them. Tell them as a big man that, hey, big man says, you know what? Yeah, we've done well.
You see, you know they give me the street lingo. Give them to me, make I just move to them for the landing. They go tell.
All right, big man. All right, big man. Yeah, we are a big club that used to do big man things. So stop this chiffy chaffer, yeah, and act right, my niggas. Act like we've been there for. We are big men. You get it. So yeah. So yeah. So basically, congratulations. So let's move on from Conference League talk.
Yeah. So we've come to the end of this episode. If you haven't done it already, please follow our social media pages: Twitter, Instagram, ATW Podcast GCR, TikTok After the Whistle, YouTube After the Whistle Podcast. Subscribe to the YouTube. Share the links if you can. Leave comments. All of that stuff. And once again, thank you to the 957 Daiquiri Bar for hosting us and getting us to do this with them. Thank you to City FM, Benjamin and Ketia for bringing us on their sports show to give us a bigger audience. We're a little disappointed because we didn't get to meet Coach Nimli. We were hoping he would be on the show, but I'm saying on that day he had traveled, so he couldn't be there with us because we really get plans for him. But yeah, hopefully next time when we go and we'll go and meet him and we'll manage to bring him on this podcast to also come and display for us. So yeah, Charlie, guys, thank you for joining us. And as always, ATW, dominate the conversation.